looking at the world and what it all means for us as believers. 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begot loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for your word, and I pray you would help us as we continue this message, this study on being overcomers by faith. And I pray, Lord, that your direction would be given, your wisdom would be given. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're looking at overcomers, to become an overcomer of the world, to be victorious. We understand tonight that there are those believers who are enamored by the world. The lure of the world is strong. And we see this in the Bible in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." And Timothy understood the fact that there's this pull in the world. And Demas had his roots in this world, and he forsook Paul. He forsook the ministry that God had placed him in. But what is the world? And we looked at this last week and really defined what it means when the Bible talks about the world, the world, the world. We think about it from a physical perception, the world, you know, the countries of the world, the people of the world, the natural features of the world, the societies, the institutions of the world. This is the world in a physical sense. But this is not what the Bible is talking about when it says, "Love not the world." He's not talking about the things in the world, but he's talking about the philosophy of the world, the mindset of the world. Now, we looked at this last week and we laid it out, that God had created everything for his glory, that God created everything with a purpose. We are created for a purpose, on purpose, which is contrary to what the world would teach us. But because of sin, the rule of humanity, God created Adam and Eve to have dominion, but that dominion was lost because of sin. And that created purpose was lost. And now we see, because of our sin, our sinful present. The Bible teaches us in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 8, "Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he put all in subjection under him. He left nothing that is put under him, but now we see not yet all things put under him." So that dominion was lost. And now we understand that the devil is the prince of the power of the air. He's the ruler of this world. His influence, his direction, his cultural sway is not godly. It is not of God. The philosophy or the mindset of the world is not of God. And this is the enemy of the Christian. And so when the Bible talks about love not the world, it's talking about the mindset of the world. And we learn about this. We learn about everything that's in the world in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 16. Let's turn there and look at this. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 16. Notice what the Bible says here, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 16. The Bible says this, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, it is not of the Father, but is of the world." And by the way, this was the lure of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. They saw the fruit, It looked good to eat. It was a fruit that would make man wise. And they took of that fruit. They were allured by the same thing that we are allured by in our world today. All that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It is not of the Father, but it is of the world. And so how do we become overcomers? Well, last week we learned, and from our text we learned, that if we're going to overcome the world as the cultural sway that we as Christians are in, then we're going to have to do it by faith. And faith is believing God. Faith is trusting God. Faith is the answer. For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. To be overcomers, then we're going to do it by faith. And last week we looked at the purpose of this, faith in his purpose, in God's purpose. And we understood that this is God's purpose according to his timetable, that God has a plan. We looked at the glorification, or the purpose of God in our life, that one day we will have a glorified body, and yet we are in our world today. We are in our world today, and we have troubles and we have struggles, but we have to understand that God has a purpose in it, that we are in the sanctification process, but God has a purpose, and we have to have patience for that purpose. Faith, understanding that God is in control. In Hebrews chapter 12, in verse 1, the Bible says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." We are to run our race with patience, or endurance, because there's going to be troubles, there's going to be trials, there's going to be hardships that are going to come our way. No one's going to run a race without any troubles. And so the Bible says you're going to run your race, and you're going to run it with patience, endurance. You're going to keep on running. You're going to keep on marching forward, pressing on, and God will give you the grace to help you. But remember, our purpose, God's purpose in this race, is that we would be like him. And then we notice also the purpose of God is always trustworthy. It's always trustworthy. That the devil, you know, he makes promises. And the world makes promises. But the devil doesn't care about the Christian. The devil hates the world. He doesn't care about your welfare. He doesn't care about your direction in your life. All of the devil's checks bounce. All of his apples have worms. And he's going to offer these things, and he's going to make it look good. He's going to offer you the world, but he's going to pay it out in pain and hardship and in difficulty. The way of the transgressor is hard. It's what the Bible teaches us. And so we have to understand that God's way is trustworthy, that God loves us and cares about us. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And everything is wonderfully weaved together in a wonderful tapestry of God's grace and purpose in our life. And so we don't fear, we trust, we have faith. And as we do, we keep our eyes on God's purpose in our life, and we trust in him. Number two, if you're taking notes, I want us to think about faith in his precepts. Not only faith in his purpose, but also faith in his precepts. The Bible says this in Psalm 119 in verse 15, "I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways." It is said that when the famous missionary David Livingston started his trek across Africa, that he took with him 73 books and 3 backpacks weighing about 180 pounds. After the party had gone 300 miles, Livingston was obligated to throw away some of those books. And as he traveled on, his library grew less and less and less until he only had one book left in his library, and that was the Bible. And that is the most important book in your library. I have hundreds of books in my library. You can go see it for yourself. I mean, there's walls filled with books, but the most important book in my office is the one that sits on my desk in front of my computer. It is the Word of God. It is our guide. It is our map. It is our direction for our life. And it is impossible to righteously govern the world without God and the Bible. Now, our life must be governed by the Word of God each and every day. Now, listen, there is the wisdom of the world, and then there's the wisdom of the Bible. And these are competing all of the time. And there is, by the way, there is no real fight here. God's wisdom is far superior to the wisdom of the world. The Bible says this in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 20, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made the foolish the wisdom of this world? I mean, listen, when it comes to the wisdom of God, the world's wisdom is foolishness. It's foolishness. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 5, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 19, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in his own craftiness. Now, we must have faith in what God says in his word. If we're going to be overcomers of this world, then we're going to have to trust the Bible over the wisdom of men, over the wisdom of the world. And even when the world makes it sound really good, we always trust the Bible. We always go back to the Bible, trusting his commandments, trusting his precepts, proves our love for him. Look what our text says here in 1 John 5, verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Now, these verses teach us a genuine love for God that motivates us. When we have a true, genuine love for God, the outward expression is seen in our life. Our love for other believers, our love for the Word of God, our love for His church, all of these things are expressed when someone loves God. And the main focus of that is their love for God. Their love for God. The Bible says it this way in Psalm 119, verse 168, I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before thee. When someone keeps the way of God, the precepts of God, it shows to the world that they love God, that they find God, that they see God as important and his word as important in their life. 1 John chapter 4, verse 20 says, if a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And so our love for others and our graciousness and our grace toward others, it all stems down from our love for God. And our love for God changes our perception and our desires in our life. I remember as a teenager, I did something dumb. Teenagers do something, they do things dumb all the time. I know that because I have two of them. And now I have a different perspective. And I remember doing something not very smart, and I made my mom cry. And I remember her in her room crying because of the decision that I made. And I remember being in my room thinking, I will never hurt my mom like that again. Now, let's think about this in a spiritual way. When we disobey God, how does it make God feel? The Bible teaches us not to grieve the Holy Spirit. But how often when we decide that we know more than God, and we know more than His Word, does it grieve the very heart of God? And the Bible teaches us that our love for God is seen in our love for His church, in our love for His Word, in our love for His truth. Our love for God is seen in our love for other brothers and sisters in Christ. And if we say we love God, but we do not follow His Word, then can we really say we love God? That's what the Bible is teaching us. Our love for God constrains us. It constrains us. And by the way, this is where the danger comes in the life of a Christian. Because if our love for God constrains me to follow this book in my life, then what does my love for the world do? Well, it does the same. And that's why the Bible says, love not the world. And it even goes deeper than that, knowing that if my heart is toward the world and I love the things of the world, then it says, neither love the things of the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You cannot love God and love the world at the same time. There are two different areas of our life. We cannot love the Word of God and love the wisdom of the world. The love of the world system, their philosophies and their ideologies will draw us away from our love for God. Look what the Bible says in James chapter 4 and verse 4. Listen as I read this verse here. It says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. I didn't write it, I'm just reciting it. But God says, you can't be my friend and a friend of the world. You cannot merge the thinking of the world into a Bible perspective. When we try to do that, we become liberal in our thoughts. When you take the world's philosophy or the world's wisdom and you try to merge that together with what the Bible says, we become liberal in our theology. We become liberal in our thoughts. We cannot be a friend of God. And someone who is liberal in their theology, listen, they don't believe in the miracles of God. They don't believe in the Godhead. They'll question the inspiration of Scripture. Because what are they trying to do? They're trying to take the wisdom of the world and merge it together with the wisdom of God. And the Bible says you can't be the friend of God and the friend of the world. And then you have various teachings like liberal theologies like theistic evolution. We're going to take the idea of the world that we're just accidents, but we're going to make God do that. That doesn't work. That's not what the Bible says. We cannot merge these two thoughts. The Bible says you're either a friend of God or you're a friend of the world. But we see also trusting His commandments provides strength to us. Look what the Bible says in our text here, 1 John 5, verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. So God is saying, listen, we love God, we keep His word, but God gives to us the strength that we need to be obedient children. In verse number 5, we overcome the world. In verse number 3, we are obedient to the world, to the word of God. And think about that. In verse 3, we obey, and verse 5, we overcome. I may have used this illustration before. I think it's hilarious. A man stopped to watch a Little League baseball game, and he asked one of the youngsters what the score was. And he said, "We're losing 18-0. And the man said, "Well," he said, you must be pretty discouraged." And the boy said, "Discouraged?" He said, "Why would we be discouraged? We haven't even come to bat yet." And, you know, when we look at the world, we look at the condition of the world. It's easy for us to become discouraged. Maybe today you're looking at the world, you're thinking, "God, where are you? I mean, God, where is your strength? Where is your miraculous work? I mean, our world is falling apart." And I'm here to tell you that in Christ we are overcomers by faith. If we endure, if we are persistent, if we are patient and trusting the Lord, listen, we will see the salvation of God in our life. I want us to read a psalm together. Would you turn with me to Psalm 37? Psalm 37, and notice what the Bible says. The psalmist, David, had the same thought in his mind. "God, where are you? The evildoers of the world seem to be having a heyday. They seem to be thriving." And we notice what David had to say about this. We're going to read the entire psalm together. The Bible says this in Psalm 37, verse 1, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good." I like this because David is saying, don't get caught up with everything that is happening in the world. Because you can lose focus. You can become discontent with what's happening around you. He says, listen, just focus on yourself. Trust God and do good. "So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked hath drawn out the sword, and hath bent his bow, and cast down the poor and needy, and to slay such as be of an upright conversion. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked." That's a great verse to underline in your Bible. "A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. For the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as fat as lambs. And they shall consume into smoke, shall they consume away. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth,
and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good, and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. The wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. I have seen the wicked in great power, and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble, and the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them, because they trust in him. That's a wonderful psalm, and I think maybe it would do us good to read it every day. If we're discouraged about what's happening around us, just remember, we are on the winning side. And it may not be tomorrow, and it may not be next week, but the reality is we win. We win. The Bible teaches us in this passage of Scripture that the wicked leaders of the world, those who call themselves great, David said, I looked around and there was none. They're all cut down. He says, listen, the one who trusts in God, they will have peace. And so he says, trust in the Lord. Commit thy way unto the Lord. And rest in him. It's a wonderful blessing. Just keep trusting his precepts. The world will have what they have to say. The world will offer their wisdom. But keep trusting God. And know that God will always keep his word. God will give you the victory over this world. But I want to narrow it down even further tonight. And I want us to think about, lastly, faith in his person. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begot loveth him also that is begotten of him. We notice the very foundation of our salvation. It is found in Jesus Christ. If we are begotten of him, or if we are born again, then we love him and we love the Father. And we overcome the world not based on our own merit. We are overcomers not based on our performance. But listen, we are overcomers because of who Jesus is. The Bible teaches us that Jesus is the anointed one. Christ means the anointed one, or the Messiah. In John chapter 4, verse 25, Jesus is talking to the woman at the well, and the woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. And Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. I am the anointed one, the Christ. In Acts chapter 10 and verse 35, the Bible says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devils, for God was with him. Jesus is the anointed one, but also Jesus is the appointed one. The Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus is given a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, knees will bend and heads will bow and give glory to God Almighty. How do we get to heaven? How do we approach God the Father? Jesus said in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus is not saying, I am the way or a way of many ways. He's saying, I am the way. I am the appointed one. I am the one that would die for the sins of the world. But also Jesus is the all-powerful one. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, which brings us to our text for this year. Ye are of God, little children. And don't forget it. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Why? Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. He is the all-powerful one. And we can be overcomers today. We can have victory in Jesus. We can have victory in our life today. No matter how bad things look, no matter how dark things around you look, I'm here to tell you that with Christ on your side, you're always the majority. You're always the majority. Faith in his purpose. Faith in his precepts. And faith in his person. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for all that you've done.